about something that I believe can help us with conflicts or relationships. And the title of my message is When the Flood Starts. When the Flood Starts. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. All right. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, brother. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The Bible says, the beginning of what? Of strife. That's just talking about arguing and things of that nature, right? Is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you be with us, Lord, this morning. Please use us, Lord. Guide us. We know we're imperfect individuals, but we're pursuing after a perfect Savior and Lord in our life. And the best way we know how is by assembling at church, connecting to one another, but more importantly, connecting to your word and allowing you to lead us. This morning, I just pray, use me as a vessel and also the listeners, Lord. I pray you give them spiritual hearing. They need to hear what they need throughout the week. And so that way they can be used by you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Conflict rarely begins with catastrophe. It doesn't begin with war. Usually most destruction starts small. When you're in a relationship, sometimes it begins as something small as someone gets offended by what you say, or someone gets offended by what you do. One maybe careless word that you and I might share. Maybe it's a disagreement. You don't view maybe a topic of politics the same. And so what happens is, in that moment, our pride takes over, right? So if you don't agree with me, well, my pride's going to take over. I'm right, you're wrong. Even if the other individual has a good point. Most of the times, what I'm trying to explain is that we allow that small situation to become something major. I don't know if y'all remember the Katrina hurricane. How many of you remember that? It really hit the New Orleans area, right? The Metroplex or the metro area of New Orleans. But what really affected them was the fact that the levee broke. And then all that water came in and flooded many homes. Well, you have to understand, when the Bible is talking about the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, it's like that levee. It's holding back the entire water. It's not allowing that water to rise to a certain level, right? It's keeping the water away. But what we need to look at in this verse, it says, therefore, leave off contention, you know, fighting, arguing, bickering and things of that nature. It says, before it be meddled with. What happens to that small crack in a levee or in a broken foundation? What happens is it continues to get larger and larger, and it continues to grow and grow until eventually that, like in the New Orleans situation, that levee breaks. This is the wisdom Solomon's talking about. See, Solomon's talking about this is when the flood starts in your life. This is when all this unnecessary affliction begins in your life. And I want you to see that the Christian life is not about winning every argument with your loved ones or in relationships or working relationships or in your community. It's about showing a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of grace. It's about showing the Spirit of Christ. It's about showing that the fact that we actually read our Bibles. I'm going to tell you that Solomon here is trying to show us self-control through Christ. Many homes, many churches, many friendships, even ministries have been destroyed because nobody stopped the leak. And you say, Pastor, what's the point of stopping the leak? Well, that's if you don't stop the leak, the flood comes. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. Strife starts small, but then it grows quickly. Strife starts small but grows quickly. Proverbs 17:14. In the beginning of what? Strife is as when one what? letteth out what? Water.
This verse here emphasizes the beginning of strife. It's emphasizing the fact that God is warning us to recognize conflicts in our lives early before it gains what? Momentum, right? Before it overpowers you, it overwhelms you. Water at first seems harmless, doesn't it? But when there's a small crack in the dam, man, guess what begins to build in that little crack? Pressure. That pressure. And what happens is when that pressure continuously is going through that little small crack, eventually what happens to that dam or that, you know, fortification, it begins to collapse. Well, guess what? That's how anger works. That's how exactly how anger works. That's how gossip works. Just a little bit. Let's add on that pressure. See, that's how division works. And I'm not talking about mathematically, okay? But I guess you can apply it that way too. But division in the church, when people are at odds with one another, that's how it works. An emotional moment can produce years of damage if we're not careful. James chapter 3, verse 5, if you'd like to turn there, let's go there real quick. James chapter 3, verse 5, and then we'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. If you're still with me, say amen. James chapter 3. Verse 5, I'll go ahead and read it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little what? Fire kindleth. You know, a tiny spark can burn an entire forest. How many of you have heard of the burning there in California or in Oklahoma, you're talking about thousands of acres burning entirely. And it started with a campfire or in some occasions it started with a cigarette butt. And you're surprised because it affects not only obviously the trees and the grass, but the livestock, the livelihood of farmers and ranchers, right? And I want you to understand it starts with a tiny spark. Well, guess what? A tiny argument with your tongue can destroy relationships. Not just one, many relationships, if we're not careful. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We're talking about strife starts small, but grows quickly. Ecclesiastes, for those of you that use Inglés sin barreras, Ecclesiastes capítulo 10, versículo 1. You say, well, Pastor, what is... what did I say? That used to be a program in Spanish. Follow me to America. And then it would say... what is it, Miss Claudia? I'm sorry, not to point you out. All you Spanish folks, amen? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Inglés sin barreras? Yeah? It's a program that shows you... it's actually saying English without borders. But it's teaching you good English, not limiting you. You follow me? But anyways, yeah, sorry. I'm going back to my childhood. I'm coming back. Here you go. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Pastor, what does that have to do with the sermon? Nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says this, dead flies. I don't know how many of you like that, but it says dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking what? Savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Very simple here. One bad thing or a small corruption, right? Dead flies. A small corruption can ruin something valuable like your testimony, like your reputation. Just one bad little thing you do. It's just one bad little thing that I do. People are not going to remember all the years of consistency. People are not going to remember the years. You say, for example, here at Victory Baptist Church, Pastor Rivera, the very first 9 years, didn't receive a salary. They're not going to remember that. You know what they're going to remember? The one bad thing I did. Thank you, Ms. Jenny. Amen. I will show you the same grace. That's what people do, right? They can go, no, I know. Yeah, I know. 10 times 1, right? I don't know if y'all have seen this, but there's a video where it shows that a math teacher's
on the chalkboard, giving the formulas there or whatnot, and you're going 10 times 1 is 10, 10 times 2 is 20, 10 times 3 is 30. I'm doing the tens because, you know, I can't do the nines, amen? But then he gets to 10 times 10, it's 99. All through that time, the students are paying attention. They're quiet. They're focused. And then when he makes the mistake, 10 times 10 is 99. Guess what everybody does? They erupt in laughter. Guess what? That's how people are. They're going to point out the one error that you make instead of the nine correct decisions you made. Strife starts small, but it grows quickly. Here in Ecclesiastes, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. I want us to understand, you can't ignore, and I can't ignore, the small problems in our life. We can't ignore bitterness. If we have bitterness this morning, take it to God. We can't ignore jealousy or envy. If you're envious of someone or jealous of someone, listen, take it to God. You cannot ignore these things in our hearts. If you have resentment this morning, if you have pride this morning, or if you have any unresolved tension, whether it's with the pastor or the pastor's wife or the pastor's family or the leaders of the church or the Sunday school teacher, or maybe you just have unresolved conflicts in your family, take it to God. Don't ignore the small problem. See, I want us to understand that when we deal with these things early on, we deal with these things in our life through prayer, through humility. You have to get to this place where you have to realize, why do I have this bitterness in my life? Oh, yeah, well, I never had love for a stranger who was my father, so I'm not going to die for him because of my anger. But is that right? It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. I know, it's a tongue twister. No, it's not. But I need you to think. It's never right for someone to do wrong just because someone else did wrong and they deserve it in order for me to do right and stand in the right position and say, well, I have every right to be mad at my dad. No, you don't. Ezekiel, you don't. Because you know what that does to me? It limits me. Follow me? God has so many blessings in my life and stored in my life, and praise the Lord, I'm living. I'm able to eat out of that ripe fruit. I'm married to my best friend because I was able to let go of anger and bitterness. I'm able to be a father to my children who I love, and hopefully y'all love me in return. Yeah, one shook their head too. Okay, there's a third one, all right. Yeah, okay, that's the fourth one. All right, we're getting somewhere. But I'm able to grab a hold of those fruits now. And I get to enjoy them, Brother Chuck. They're ripe fruit. They're hanging, low-hanging fruit. But I promise you, if I was bitter against my dad or I was never willing to give forgiveness for what he did, I don't think I would be able to enjoy that. Well, without my family, I wouldn't be able to pastor. Without pastor, I never get to meet you. I never get to build some relationships with a lot of you that I really appreciate as my friends. You see how this works? I want us to understand that we need to deal with these things with humility. We need to deal with these things early on with forgiveness and communication, because the longer we let conflict sit unresolved, guess what? The dangerous they become. More dangerous they become. Church, the devil doesn't need a giant opening. It just needs a small crack in your life. Just a small one. And I promise you, he's going to put that pressure in you. Whether it's in your mind and your heart, how you feel or what you're thinking. This is why we need God. This is why we need God. One offended spirit, that's all it takes. One bitter conversation, that's all it takes. One proud reaction, that's all it takes. Before the floods of the waters come. I want you to know that the devil loves unresolved conflicts. You know why? Because he knows what starts small can end up as a great destruction. He understands that. And I hope we do this morning. Here's my second point. If you're still with me, say amen. First point, strife starts small but grows quickly. Second point, wise people know when to stop the argument. I didn't say intelligent or smart people. I said wise. Wise people, people that can discern, know when to stop the argument. Proverbs 17:14, it also says not only the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, but it says, therefore, leave off what? Contention. For this reason, right? Therefore. For this reason. For what reason, Pastor? That crack is going to get bigger and it's going to bring the floods in. Okay? In the beginning of strife, if you don't deal with it early enough, it's going to become a big issue. So for this reason, leave off contention. This phrase, leave off, means to stop. It means to disengage. It means to walk away. It means to refuse to continue escalating the argument, escalating the conflict, escalating that bad idea that you have. Biblical wisdom is not weakness. I want you to understand, it's meekness. It's a strength under control. It's the best definition. Anybody can explode, right? Anybody can yell. Anybody can react emotionally. But spiritual maturity, that's the person that knows when to stop feeding the fire. Go to Proverbs chapter 15, please. Proverbs chapter 15. I'll go ahead and read it. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up what? Another way you can explain a soft answer would be gentleness. If you're gentle, and let's say you don't agree with the person you're arguing, or you don't agree with a person that's always negative or just continuously being a burden in your life, gentleness can de-escalate a situation. It's not good if you're dealing with somebody that's short-tempered, a hothead. It's not good for you to become a hothead. Remember, it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. So you don't go with them at their level. If anything, if they want to be a hothead, if they want to be a fool, let them be a fool. Let them be a fool. In order to de-escalate the situation, we sometimes have to be a little bit gentle. I don't know if you've seen, you know, and I'm not saying police officers are bad people, but I will tell you, growing up where I grew up, the very first thing that they had to think about is, hey, I need to get back to my family. I need to make sure that I survive so I can go back and kiss my wife and my children, while they're dealing with criminals, hoodlums, and, you know, in the streets. Well, are there innocent bystanders? Yeah, there's innocent bystanders, amen. On one occasion, we were coming from church. There was a 7-Eleven at the corner, 21 and Beavis, right there, Iglesia Bautista Libertad in Houston. And we had just finished having a youth night. I always enjoyed youth night. My mom enjoyed it because it kept me out of trouble. But I enjoyed it because my friends were there, you know, people I grew up with. We played basketball, we played volleyball, very competitive in sports in that situation. But afterwards, you know, you still have this, I don't know what you call it, this alter ego that you're from the hood or whatever. I don't know. That persona. So what would do hood people do when you're out there playing and then there's a 7-Eleven? In case y'all don't know, let me educate you. You go get a Slurpee. Amen. That's what you do. Amen. You don't go do drugs and all that. You go get a Slurpee. Okay. So we went to go get a Slurpee with my friends and the pastor's son, who, by the way, has never, at that time, Jeremiah, that I know of, he never understood where we lived. Amen. And for that, he didn't need to. But so we always looked out for him and we'd always pretend because he's a pastor's son. But we ended up going after playing basketball and we're all dressed up in our sweats and t-shirts. So we didn't look like we just came from a youth night. We came to the 7-Eleven. On the way back, I was happy. I had my big, I don't know how many ounces, 64, forget 44. It was a huge Slurpee and I'm sipping it up, getting a brain freeze. All of a sudden you see HPD, true, true, true. I'm telling you, the street, I mean, we're right in the corner. The church is about maybe 200 feet. You could see the church. We get there, we get stopped. Police, get down. And, you know, they're using different words. Amen. They're not using Christ-like words. And I'm like this. And then my very first thought is, why is there a gun pointing in my face? And then the second thought was, where's Jeremiah? Amen. Well, they got the pastor's son, flung him across the hood. And I'm like, hey, leave him alone. And then they got me like a dummy. And got down on the floor. My Slurpee went over there. I was like just looking at my Slurpee. Amen. But they had me down on the floor, their foot on my neck. Now, listen, they're not my enemies, okay? I understand. It's a situation thing, cultural thing. They had their foot on my head, on my neck, with a double-barreled 12-gauge in my face. Get down, shut up, you know? And I'm like, okay. And of course, the guy, please don't get offended. His name was Black. He's Hispanic and Black. Anthony Castillo. And his mom's from Chile. And his father, he was a major. And majors are in Army or Navy? I forgot, but he was up there. Army. That's the Black part. And anyways, he didn't take it from people. And I'm like, Anthony, shut up. I'm telling him to shut up because I'm not trying to get shot for this idiot not being able to de-escalate the situation. Anyways, they're like, where were you guys at this time? And I said, sir, we were at the, I'm speaking because Anthony's being out of control, belligerent. And I said, shut up, man. I said, let me talk. So while the officer has his foot on my neck, I'm like, we just came from youth night. It's called Jóvenes in Spanish. And I'm like, we just came from the youth night. Our pastor and our youth pastor are there. And they're like, no, where you guys were at this time? I'm like, we were at the service. We were listening to the preaching. And then here comes my pastor. He's Pastor Roy. He's like, pale as you can get. Now, you never seen a Mexican pale? He was pale. Amen. And he was like Casper, the friendly ghost. You could see through him. Amen. That pale he was. And he came and he's like, sir, these are our young men. How can we help you? That's all I was waiting for, them to pull the gun out of my pastor, but they saw he had a tie, and you know, I'm not saying y'all label, but amen. But anyways, he had his suit and tie, and the guy's like, are these your guys? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, sir. Well, the guy still has his foot on my neck, amen, by the way. And he said, we had a something come over the intercom that 8 Hispanic teenagers beat an old white lady. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm like, great. Praise the Lord. This is like so cliche for us. And I'm like, great. Guess what? They get another call. They caught the 8 Hispanics that beat up the old white lady. Man, I was sweating bullets because we fit the profile. They were just doing their job. But what I'm trying to say, the whole point of that is, don't act like Black, okay? Act more like you got things under control. We call him Black. He's not. Okay. Anthony. Don't act like Anthony. If you act that way and you try to prove your point and go toe-to-toe, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get hard. They're the enforcers of the law. Okay? You say, well, I have the right. No, you have the right to remain silent, son. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Sir, keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's good not to say anything. Don't tell your wife, calm down. Okay, no tomatoes. How many of you ladies like being told, calm down? Young men, learn. Amen. Young men, learn. Amen. Amen, Brother Zach. Amen. Brother Colin. Amen. Brother Benjamin. How many of you think it's good to say, calm down? No, sometimes you have to give a gentle answer. Sometimes a gentle answer is not answering at all. In that situation, it could have gone real bad for us. But praise the Lord, he was on our side. My Slurpee didn't make it, but I made it, amen, to live another day. I want you to know that here, a soft answer, it means that gentleness can stop escalation. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 18, and I'll try to hurry and stop telling stories. I'm sorry. Romans 12:18. And by the way, those young men, what they did, they broke into this lady's house. She was in a wheelchair. She was wheelchair bound. They stole from her. But what was the point of beating her? I mean, I really don't know what the point. It's an elderly lady. And that's what happened. She didn't die, praise the Lord. I don't know how that would have gone. But they did catch the individuals. So praise the Lord. Romans 12:18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all what? God calls us believers, Christians, to pursue peace whenever it's possible. You follow me? And the second point, so we're on the same page, is wise people know when to stop the argument. We need to be a little bit wise when it comes to this so we don't let the floods take over. You don't have to attend, you don't have to be a part of every argument that you're invited to. If somebody wants to argue with you, you don't have to participate. You don't have to attend. I'm present. No, you don't need to be present. Amen? Sometimes the best thing, let me put it this way, sometimes the holiest thing, the Christian thing that you can do is stay quiet. Sometimes that's the best thing. The flesh, that's how you know it's holy, right? It's anything that the flesh wants to do, you do the opposite. That's how you know it's holy. It's spiritual. If the flesh wants to argue a point, do the opposite. Don't argue the point. Pastor, that's hard because we haven't been practicing being holy, living a separated life for Christ, because we haven't continued Christian behaviors. That's why it's hard. But when you practice it over and over and over again, guess what? I'm not saying you're perfect, but it gets easier. You follow me? We're going to fail, but it gets easier. And I want you to know that the flesh is going to say, fight back. Pride's going to say, get up. Don't let them talk to you like that. But the Spirit of God sometimes is going to say, hey, leave off contention. Leave off arguing. Leave off trying to prove your point. Leave off. You say, Pastor, why would God say that? Because if you don't leave off, it leads to destruction. Church, wisdom is not proven by how loud you can get. Wisdom is proven by how much self-control you have when your emotions are boiling. Here's the third point, and I'll be done. Brother Zach, what time is it, brother? The clock's not working again. What? Oh, okay, I have to 10:15. Okay, I was like 10:58. Man, I've been having too much fun. Okay, 9:58. Okay, we're good. Third point, uncontrolled strife leads to destruction. And I know some of this might sound the same, and I touched on it, but it does overlap, and it goes hand in hand, though. Uncontrolled strife leads to destruction. Proverbs 17:14, it says, before it be meddled with. You know, he says, leave off contention, right? Before it be meddled with. Conflict spreads, emotions intensify, people take sides. Gossip, what does it do? It spreads. Relationships fracture. Destruction follows right after. It becomes harder and harder to repair. If I live our lives with uncontrolled strife, we're going to realize that it never stays contained. It's out of control. In your life, you might want peace, but you always welcome peace with people that are always dealing with drama. Why do you do that to yourself? Why do you associate yourself with people that have nothing in common with you? You know, one of the things I realized growing up in Fifth Ward, ladies, a ladies' night out is not a ladies' night out. I'll say that again. A ladies' night out is not a ladies' night out. What I've learned in the where we grew up, and I'm not saying here it's like that, but it's not that much different. Because ladies here have night outs too. You know what it is? Let me see if I still got it, night out. Let me see if I can catch a man, night out. I'll preach the truth, amen. I can get upset. But it's not that. You can see it. It's, do I still have it? Can I still catch the eye of a guy? You know, ladies, you need to catch the eye of your husband. Amen. Amen. Thank you, one godly man that I hope you have lunch afterwards. But amen. I hope you catch the eye of your husband. Amen. I'll say amen. My wife's not here. Amen. Here's the thing. I want us to understand that there are times that we bring unnecessary affliction to our life. And it's that uncontrolled strife that we enjoy. We call it, or we justify it by saying, oh, we're going to hang out with old friends. Yeah, okay. Are you talking about Jesus with that friend? Are you talking about how God has blessed you in your life with your family? Here's the thing. If you're hanging out or associating with people that are not of the same faith, not of the same mind, what are you doing? I've heard this excuse before. Sir, what's your name? Gideon. All right, stand up, buddy, please. This is my nephew. Okay. All right, forgive him because he couldn't choose his uncle. Amen? But Gideon, all right, can you stand there? All right. No, stand on the chair. It's okay. You're not going to get in trouble for doing right. All right, so many people have told me, well, Pastor, I go to the bars with the boys, but I don't drink. Okay, I don't know how that makes sense to you, Brother Chuck, but amen. Okay. Or ladies, I go hang out with the girls at the clubs, but I don't dance. And then I ask them, why do you do it? Oh, so I can help them. I know exactly the faces you have, yeah. Okay. We live in contradictions, amen? But here's the thing. We have these decisions and behaviors in our life that are uncontrolled. And we say, they've told me, Pastor, I do it because I want to help them. Well, my friend, you're living in this level. It's called the spiritual plane. You're following Jesus. Your friend's not in the spiritual level. Okay? They're not following Jesus. They're following their heart. Do you think they're going to give you advice, men, and say, hey, stay with your wife. It's okay. She nags. She's contentious. Stay with your wife. You think that's what the boys are going to tell them? They're drunk. Yeah, you might not be drinking, but you think that's the kind of counsel they're going to give the husband? Yes or no? Oh, yeah, stay with them. Yeah. No, they're going to see it. Man, look around you, man. You got a lot of fish in the pond, man. Go on. Yeah, no, don't come on. That's what they're going to tell you. Ladies, when you're out hanging out with the girls or I don't know where you go, you think they're going to tell you, oh, yeah, stay with him. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, he can't provide a Rolls Royce for you and a Rolex for you. It's okay. Stay with him. Now, I don't think we have vain women like that in the church. I'm just exaggerating this because I don't know, okay? But it happens. Oh, they can't provide. They can't work. Or I don't know what the problems are, okay? But here's what I'm trying to tell you. You think they're going to tell you, oh, stay with him. No, probably the girls you're hanging out with don't have husbands. Amen. Because the only ones that go to the clubs, again, it's not a nice girl. It's not a girl's night out. It's a let me see who I can catch. Amen. That's why they're in the clubs. At 40, 50 years old, they haven't grown up. They haven't realized life. I'm sorry. This is what they're going to do to you. Oh, I want to help them. It's easier. Can you lift me up, please? Come on, just try it, bro. You're strong. All right. Careful, I got a bad back. Oh, okay, we're good. All right. I believed you. I should have believed you. Okay, stand up. This is your life, and all they have to do is. Good job, brother. Give him a hand. Thank you, Gideon. But this is excuse some people give me. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to help them out. Well, you don't understand, my friend. You're not going to help them out. They're going to hurt you. They're going to bring you down to their level. Misery loves what? Man, I don't have to know the sins that people are involved in. It's just how it is. And if we live in uncontrolled strife, it will lead to your destruction. Galatians chapter 5. I must hasten. Amen. Galatians 5:15. Are you still with me? Say amen. Or did I lose? Oh, okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm like, did I lose everybody? Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Conflict can consume us. Conflict can consume people that are spiritual. Conflict can consume people that are emotional. Conflict can consume people that are mental. not in a negative way, but they are thinkers. That's what strife does. That's what conflict does. You know, one of the things I've told our young people, our boys in baseball, I said two things you can control: your attitude and your effort. You can control your emotions. If you miss a catch, if you miss a swing, it's okay. Learn to go on to the next one. Play the next play. Don't worry about it if you missed it. What am I trying to teach them? To control their what? Emotion. A lot of them go, man, I'm telling you, man, you want to see transformations take place, amen? Go to 6U baseball game. A kid misses the ball. We have one on the team. I like the kid. I'm trying to help him out. He's a lot better. Before, in the very first game we had, he missed the ball. He's a great hitter when he's focused. He missed the ball. Guess what he did? Got the bat. He went, boom, and it came back to hit him in the head. And then he started crying because he was embarrassed now. The whole dynamic of the team came down. We ended up winning the game still. But it's one of those things where it affects everybody, right? He couldn't control his emotions. Now he made the All-Stars. He's with Ezra. He made the All-Stars. And now we're practicing for that. And this time he missed a swing. And this is what he did. He goes, he looked at me, and he goes, I'm like, good. That's good, Henry. All right, come on. And then he's like, and then he gets back. And then he hit the ball. That built his confidence. What I'm trying to tell you is when you get conflicted and you let your emotions control you, guess how your thinking goes? It goes all the way down. You can't focus. You can't think because you're angry. You're in that emotion. I'm telling you, young people are great teachers. But if we read the Bible, we can see it. We can see that conflicts consume us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, 12:15, and I'll be done. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. What this is showing me, if I don't take care of the bitterness that I had of not having a father, what it was going to do, it was going to spread in my life. And when it spread, it was going to become poison. It was going to be toxic. It was going to be, pour a little water. I don't want to do this, but just for illustration's sake, it's like this. If I was still bitter at my father, and that's all I carried, a chip on my shoulder every day of my life, when you would say, hey, pastor, how are you doing? That's what would happen. What's inside of me would spill over. What do you mean it's a good day? It's not a good day. Are you not saved? Are you not on your way to heaven? Don't you live in the best country in the world? I mean, didn't you grow up in the hood and made it out? Just that alone, man. Didn't you marry your best friend who's your wife? Don't you have children that are in the church? All of those are positives. Have you not been able to provide for your family? Are you not doing God's will for your life? Yes. So why are you bitter? Bitterness spreads. It's like poison. It's intoxicating. And you and I need to be careful with that. You and I need to be careful with this simple truth that uncontrolled strife leads to destruction. It's not okay to be mad. It's not okay to be angry. It's not okay to be bitter, especially come to church that way, especially go home that way, especially wake up that way. Amen? It's not okay. I'm going to leave you with this. The flood never asks permission before it destroys. It just comes unannounced. Once bitterness takes over, once gossip spreads, once pride hardens the heart, destruction begins to move through your relationships like raging waters. It destroys everything in its way, in its pathway. Don't let the devil turn a small disagreement into a spiritual disaster. Some people right now are drowning because nobody stopped the leak when it first began. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Proverbs 17:14 teaches us that conflict starts small, that wisdom stops escalation, and that unresolved strife brings destruction. The strongest Christian is not the loudest one. The strongest Christian is the one controlled by the Spirit of God. As the piano plays,